Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Oh, good morning. So nice to be here. Well, actually, we had a week off, which was pretty fun too. Thank you, James and Bev. We watched the service last week and just loved what you brought, Bev, particularly around your word. Wow. That was just powerful on the whole heart, you know, just the heart transformation. And if you didn't see that, that's an awesome message to jump on and grab it on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube channel. And just a great way to keep tracking. But what I love what you talked about was living our life as Jesus would live our life. And that's what we're talking about. That's all year. That's why I'm so excited. And the bad thing about having a week off is that I've got 2 weeks worth of scriptures to try and cover. And this stuff is gold. It's not like it's Deuteronomy or Exodus. It's like Matthew 6 and 5, the Sermon on the Mount and the Kingdom and all these incredible scriptures that we've just brushed over in 2 weeks. I'm thinking, how do we give this justice? So I hope you've been tracking with us in our reading plan and keeping up. And here's a tip. If you feel like you've fallen behind, don't give up. It's so easy, isn't it, to get, you start out well and then, you know, by Wednesday or by March or by you kind of, and it looks like you've got all this work to do to catch up. Don't catch up. Here's a tip. Don't try and catch up. Just pick up where you left off. Because it's better to do that than just throw it all in. It's much better just to go, right, well, where are we up to today? Let's just keep going on that. Don't worry about it. You'll always have time to read more. But just keep tracking with it. Next month, new stuff. Don't think, I haven't followed it through since February. So I don't qualify. Just keep on it. Just go, whatever February's reading. Actually, they're in February. What are we into? May. No, next month is May. Where am I? Who am I? So do just keep tracking with that reading plan because we are going through all the Gospels for the whole year. And you might be reading and thinking, I've read that before in Mark and it repeats it in Luke and then Matthew and you think, what's the point? But you actually see the different kind of twists on the story and how it all comes through. So keep with it. But anyway, let's launch into today's message. I want you to find rest for your soul. If I asked you the question, how is your soul? You know, what would you say? It's not a question that we ask at the checkout, is it? You know, beep, beep. Hi, how's your soul? We say, how are you? Which is equally as daft, probably. Well, do you want the real answer? You know, how long have you got? Yeah, the bootmaker asks, you know, how is your soul? He does. And then he says, I can't fix every soul, but I say, I can. Now you distracted me. How is your soul? And when we start to talk about our soul, one thing we often think about is paradise. We say, well, if I could only get to paradise, if I could only just, and we start to dream about a place where our soul could be at rest. Isn't that nice? And did you know that on earth we've actually found paradise? Statistically. Now, here's something funny. There is a thing called the Paradise Configurator. And this thing, here it is. This company analytically found the best place on earth. Can you believe that? Statistically. And they crunched all these numbers. They had 5 million pieces of data from 1,100 data sources from 1,000 international data services, 3 online geodata services, 4 social media services, 57 urban studies projects contributed to the project. And they fed all of this data into this computer right around the world to find paradise on Earth. Would you believe it? And where do you think it is? West Perth. Apparently, West Perth ticks all these boxes. So if you want to find paradise on Earth, move to West Perth. So that's what we, and I looked at this, well, how do you find that? Well, they looked at things like education, career, family, culture, nature, safety, infrastructure, cost of living, restaurants, shopping, health. And if you crunch all those things worldwide, you get West Perth. So good for the people who live in West Perth. What about the rest of us? How do we find paradise? How do we find the place for our souls? And I'm telling you, you're not going to find it too hard in our world, is it, really? Even West Perth, I reckon there's a few issues that go down. And even in West Perth, you still got this issue inside of a fractured soul. But what is paradise? And what would be a place where we would find rest? And I start to think about that. And it's a place of real inner peace. It's a place inside where I am at peace. It's a place where I have purpose. It's a place where I have belonging, where I can be heard and I can be understood for who I am. It's a place where there's meaning and identity. I actually have meaning in my life. I have companionship and friendship, and I have freedom from diseases and sicknesses. And there's love and joy and peace at every turn. Can you imagine like that, living like that? I reckon if you live like that, your soul would be at peace. Well, I'm going to let you on a secret. As long as you promise not to tell anyone. I've found paradise. It's not West Perth. But I found it. And I want to show you how to get there. Because it's real. Way more real than anything you can ever imagine. So come with me. Let's look at the scriptures. Come with me to Matthew 11:28. I'm going to need my Bible. Matthew 11:28. I know that Bev touched on this last week, and I know that you touched on it in January, but I can't get off this verse. This verse, and I want you to picture before we go to the verse, what was happening is that all these crowds were coming around Jesus. All these people, if you've got a Bible, open it up. Let's have a look, and I'll get to this main scripture in a second. But I want you to see the context of Matthew 11. So all these people were crowding around, all these people. And what Jesus says to them is this. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. You see, life is like that. We are heavy laden. Responsibilities, issues, things that happen. I think everybody on the planet is, in a sense, heavy laden. We've got burdens. We've got things that keep us awake at night. We've got things that bother us. We've got things that churn away. That's what it is to be heavy laden. We carry things that in our natural selves we're actually not meant to carry. Jesus says, come to me. We've got all kinds of other ways of dealing with this stuff. We escape into all kinds of places. But Jesus says, look, there's only one place. It's me. It's a person. It's not even a religion. It's a person. Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And that's what happened in the New Testament. You see people flock after Jesus. They all literally came to Jesus. So wherever Jesus was, all these people were, because they recognized something in him. He'd heal their diseases. He'd teach them things. He had authority. And so all these people would literally come to me. But I want you to see the next bit. The next verse is so profound. It says, take my yoke upon you. It's almost like, now that you've come to me, now let me show you how to really live. Do you see these two things? See, Matthew 28 says, just come to me and I'll give you rest. There's a transaction that happens. But he goes further. Like, if you want real rest, if you want rest for your souls, there's a secret right here. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, I looked this up in all the mainstream translations. Guess what they all say? Yoke. It surprised me because, you know, we don't use the term yolk. It's not egg yolk, kids. We don't use it. But there's no other word that the Bible translators could build in except for yolk. What is it? It's a farming term where you tie two animals together. You yoke them together. Sometimes we use that term. But we have it so that they walk in sync with each other. So that one beast can be next to, yoked to that other ox, and they can walk together. It's a way of walking. But Jesus, he says, tie yourself to me. Watch how I do it. Do it my way. And what happens? You'll find rest for your souls. There it is. How do you find rest for your souls? Do life Jesus' way. Become an apprentice to Jesus. Become a disciple, a follower of Jesus. It's so simple. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. Because why? Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is not a demanding boss. Come to me, do it my way. Like I might say to a dog, yeah. Sit. He's gentle and humble of heart. The God of the universe, the one who made you and I, the stars, the planets, all of creation, is at heart gentle, respectful. When he says, come to me, he says, you can trust that the way that I do life is good for you. I'm not going to mess with you. I'm not going to make it difficult. I'm not going to take you into some kind of cult or make it really weird for you. You're actually going to find rest for your souls. You're actually going to get to a place where you can breathe. And then he says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. And I know we say that life's not meant to be easy. I know that. And I don't know anybody here in the room that has an easy life. If you've got another secret, let me know. But life is hard, right? There's all kinds of things going on. Work, just family pressures, finances, health, you name it. There are pressures there in life. Jesus doesn't deny that. But he says that my yoke, my ways, the ways that I walk are actually quite easy and simple. And my burden is light. It's like when you tie yourself up to me, it's not like you're going to be the ox that has to carry all the weight and pull the weight. It's like, I'm doing that. You just got to walk next to me. And you will find rest for your soul. So how is your soul? Do a quick soul check. Don't tell anyone. Out of 10, rest is kind of 1. 10 is like redlining, you know, on the inside. You've been like that? I have. You walk around like this because anxious, burden, and then you react and respond, and relationships suffer, and your health suffers. And Jesus, no, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. All the people I read in the New Testament, they had busy lives and pressured lives, you know. But they had an inner rest which made it possible. They're facing all kinds of dangers and circumstances and crazy stuff, shipwrecks and storms and thrown in jail and snakes jumping out and biting them. You read the New Testament. You think, that's not rest. But there's a rest inside. And if you've got that rest inside, you can face anything. You know how that motivational speakers, they say, you got to set your own weather. Don't be dictated by the weather around you. You set your own climate. Well, I think that's a bit of false too. Set God's climate. Let His climate, let His weather, let His atmosphere pervade your insides. So that when you walk into a room, you've got the weather set, the temperature set to God's climate control. That's rest. No matter what comes your way, you've got God's rest, His soul. I love this scripture, Jeremiah 6:16. Years ago, like when I first came to Christ, I was reading this scripture and I was making some big decisions about life. And this is what jumped out of me, and I wrote it. I remember writing it on my wall. This is what the Lord says: stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Where is the good way? Then walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we'll not walk in it. It's history of the Old Testament. But there it is. Where is the good way? You walk in the good way, you'll find rest for your souls. So what is the good way? Well, that's the rest of Matthew 5-7. It's this incredible Sermon on the Mount. Did you know it's actually a description of the good ways of rest? The good ways that if you walk the ways of Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find paradise. Do you want to go there? Let's have a look. So Matthew 6, let me start. We're not going to put it on the screen because I'm covering 3 chapters in 10 minutes. But if you haven't already, have a good read. The Sermon on the Mount is such a brilliant, it's not just brilliant teaching. Oh, it's good ethical teaching. No, it's this is the ways of Jesus, so that when you walk in His ways, you'll find rest for your souls. So Jesus is talking to the people on the Mount, and right at the end of verse 4, it says that He had people who were afflicted, that they were sick, they were in pain, they were demon-possessed. They were having seizures. They were paralytics. So this is who He's addressing. He's addressing the oppressed. He's talking to all these people who have come from all over the world, Syria and beyond. And He stands up and He opens His mouth and He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in the heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It goes on. Jesus is saying, even you, even the people, the crowds around Him, poor, the lost, the lonely, the weak, the smashed, He's saying you're blessed. The entry into the kingdom of God is not up here. You don't need to do a test. You don't need to achieve certain things. You don't need to be a certain person or have certain followings. Or you're just blessed, even in your humble state, even in a place of need, even in a place where it's going backwards and sideways, you're blessed. Fortunate, it says. Happy, fortunate. Fortunate are you. Why? Because when we're in that state, we realize what we need. When we're proud and content and affluent, sometimes we don't see the real need, hey? And that's the problem with our culture. We don't see a need. We're fine, thank you very much. But Jesus is talking to people who need something. So the conditions to entry into paradise, it's like this. You just got to recognize your need, that's all. Anyone with me? That's all you got to do. Not jump over something high and not be something. But what's the conditions to entry to paradise? You're just blessed right where you are. And then there's three main categories in here, in the Sermon on the Mount, which goes right from chapter 5 to the end of chapter 7. And again, this is the way of Jesus. So if you practice the ways of Jesus, you'll find rest in your soul. It's not about salvation. Salvation is through Christ alone. But if you want to walk the ways of Jesus, you actually have to do something about that. So the first thing is our internal world. I'm looking at chapters 5, about 13 to 48. And Jesus talks about anger, lust, retaliation, love of enemies. He says, you've heard it said, you know. And this whole point is to make sure that what goes on the inside. Let me just pick one example here. Anger. Verse 5:21. You've heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. In other words, he's not just saying in the Old Testament, it's what you did. Now he's changing, lifting the bar a little. He's saying it's actually about your thought life. It doesn't matter if you do it or not. If you've wanted to, then there's an issue. So Jesus is always looking at changing us from the inside out. Religion dictates the outside, right? Don't do this, do this, don't do this, and you'll be fine. Jesus does away with all that. It's actually about your heart. And now why is that about rest? It's because true rest is where your heart is at peace with other people. So it's not about, oh, I wish, I don't want to anger them. No, it's a state where you are completely at peace with everybody else. Then you have rest. And you can walk into somebody who even hates you. Okay. Love you, mate. See, lust, retaliation, and he even says, love your enemies. Because they're all conditions of the heart. So how do we practice that? Who's perfect? Who's ever got angry with someone? Jesus says your righteousness has to exceed the Pharisees. It's impossible, in other words. So that's thank Jesus that he died on the cross for us and it's done. Right? But this is trying to help us to have a pure internal world. And when we fall over, just get up and say, sorry, Jesus, and keep walking. But you'll find as your heart becomes more pure, you enter that rest. Second batch is around spiritual disciplines in chapter 6. Giving, praying, fasting, forgiving. So they're actions. They're not so much things of the heart, right, how we think, but they're about what we do. And just the things, he says, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, and then forgive your brothers. But he has this incredible scripture right in the middle of this that should govern everything. And that's the last thing I just want to spend some time on. It's around the area of our desires and our aspirations. So those three things again. First thing is around our inner world and how our heart is with other people. Second thing is about what we do, our aspirations, you know, our practices of giving and praying and fasting and things. But the last one is about our desires. What do we really want in life? What is our driving motivator in life? Is it the things of this world? Is it just to get a bigger house or a more superannuation or, you know, what's driving us? What's motivating us? And this is what he nails so beautifully in Matthew 6:33. So we'll spend a bit of time on this one before we close. Matthew 6:33 follows a discussion on don't worry, don't be anxious about what you wear. You know, even the lilies of the field look pretty good. Don't worry about what you eat. Gentiles run after things. Basically saying, what people run after the practical things of life. He says, But I say to you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. This is real rest. This is real rest. Seek first the kingdom. There's other kingdoms you can seek. Is your own kingdom. The kingdom is where the rule and reign of somebody is. You know, my house is kind of my kingdom, maybe. But it's that sense of, you know, I've got rules around the way that we operate. Good rules, good things. Things we do, things we don't do, you know. But God's kingdom, God has ways, things that he likes and things he doesn't like. And if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be given to you. The practical provision of life, the things that you have, the things that you need will be provided. But you seek first the kingdom. This is radical, but it's going to change your soul because you can trust the God of the universe to look after you while you pursue him. You'll find rest for your souls when you seek first the kingdom. You'll find when you put God's priorities ahead of your own priorities, it brings peace to your soul. Because it cares for other people innately. Love God, love other people. Restedness and strength in that rest comes from the great sense that God is looking after you, that he's on the throne, that he's the one that provides for you, and that he's the one who's giving you eternal, eternal joy. I guess my question for you this morning, and I'm going to get some musicians to come up on stage to help me with this. How is your soul? How is it? Are you anxious? Are you weary? Are you frustrated? Are you nervous? If you just close your eyes for a moment and just reflect. I'll give it just a few minutes. I want you to picture yourself before Jesus. And I want you to picture his compassion. You see, all these people would crowd around him and he'd actually chase after the ones who were in need. He'd actually be looking out in the crowd and he'd pull close those who were in need. Healed them all. So how is your soul? Are you shying away from Christ because you think that he's going to judge you, or you think that he's out to get you, or that you're not meeting his standards, and so kind of shy away? Or do you feel like you're not good enough? If Jesus said, just come to me, all who are weary, if he was standing in front of you and spoke those words, come to me, would you look down and just try and disappear into the background? Me? Would you drop all pretense? Come as you are before Christ. Faults and all, worries, anxieties, pressures, would you come just before him? Because he says that to you right now. He says, come to me right now, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, come. He's here today. We're not just talking stories from the old times. No. Jesus himself is here today, and that same invitation is here. The same invitation to come is right before you. And he's saying to you, come. I want you to drop all objections. I want you to drop all fears, drop all anxieties. And I want you to see the hope of rest for your soul. And I want you to see that you're learning to live Jesus' life, learning to be an apprentice to Jesus. And as you do that, as you connect your soul with His soul, that you will find rest for your souls. As you take on His yoke and His ways, that you will find life and freedom and joy. And you will find that Jesus deals with the stuff that you've never been able to deal with. And you'll find that He heals relationships, and He provides financially, and He heals you physically, and He gives you a hope and a future, and He gives you a context to live life out of, and He gives you meaning and purpose, and He gives you an identity that's brand new, and He gives you an eternal hope. And all these things are given to us and added to us as we seek first the kingdom of God. It just starts with a response that says, yes, yes, I'll come. It's an invitation. He never forces anyone. He doesn't demand. He just says, come. Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. Jesus. Just respond. Is that you? Just put your hand right up. Every eye closed. Just, do you need to come to Jesus this morning? Whether you've come for the first time or just need to re-come again, do you just need the refreshment of soul? Just raise your hand and I want to pray for the people, a bunch of people right now. Just slip your hand up. Respond to His coming. Don't disappear. Just say, I'm going to come. I need that. Come. Lord Jesus, wherever there's a hand up, I'm praying that you would help them to come to you. Help them to feel your presence. Help them to walk their ways. Jesus, put your hand of blessing on each person. Hand of companionship and fellowship. Teach them how to do their life your way. And bring refreshment and rest for their souls. Great love for us and the ways that you've made here. Amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.